1420 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Capital One.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. There's still some rocket fire, but Israeli and Palestinian leaders have agreed to a five-day ceasefire on the Gaza Strip. CBS's Linda Gradstein is in Jerusalem.
Islamic Jihad officials confirmed that the Egyptian-brokered ceasefire was meant to go into effect at 10 p.m. Israel time Saturday after 5 days of cross-border clashes. But sporadic rocket fire continued from Gaza, and Israel continued to respond with strikes targeting the rocket launchers. Israeli analysts said the next few hours would determine if the ceasefire takes hold, but the fact that the Islamist Hamas movement, which controls Gaza, did not get involved makes it more likely. Similar previous ceasefires have lasted for several months to a year. Linda Gradstein, CBS News, Jerusalem.
In Rome, the fanfare is for Ukrainian President Zelensky, who's met with the Pope already, and he's seeing other leaders while there. The expected surge of migrants hasn't quite materialized at the southern border, but Texas towns are gearing up in many ways. Here's CBS's Wendy Gillette.
In El Paso, Texas, buses are bringing migrants to a processing center. There is a state of emergency in the city.
How could you do that without consulting us?
And in Chicago, residents filed a restraining order to stop a former school from becoming a shelter for migrants as other facilities reach capacity.
Not all the news near the southern border involves immigration. A tornado has hit a small town just north of the border in southeast Texas. Cameron County Judge Eddie Trevino.
An EF1 tornado touched down in Laguna Heights with winds between 85 and 105. 5 miles per hour. We are aware at this point of one fatality.
Turbulent weather is also headed to the San Antonio area with heavy rain and flooding expected east of the city. North Carolina's Democratic Governor Roy Cooper has vetoed a Republican-backed measure that would ban most abortions after 12 weeks of pregnancy.
This bill will create dangerous interference with the doctor-patient relationship, leading to harm for pregnant women and their families.
The current law allows abortions up to 20 weeks in. North Carolina lawmakers will get a chance to vote on overriding the governor's veto. It's commencement weekend at the University of Idaho, which has awarded posthumous degrees or certificates to the four students stabbed to death there last November. Former FBI Director Louis Free spoke of the resilience of the campus community.
We've gone through a fiscal crisis, a pandemic, and a horrific tragedy that could shatter any community, but did not here.
This is CBS News.
No fees or minimums and no overdraft fees are another reason banking with Capital One is the easiest decision. What's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com/bank. Capital One N.A. Member FDIC.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Get your vehicle ready for spring during Clean Car Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Pro X1 exterior cleaning and detailing products provide professional results and show quality shine for your vehicle. Right now, pick up Pro X1 Snow Foam Car Wash 2 for just $15. See store for details. Pro X1 exclusively at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts or O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Lowe's, we're always bringing pros more ways to save. Right now, get a Flex 24-volt half-inch drill driver kit for only $99. Was $179. That's a savings of $80. Plus, you'll always save big on job lot quantities when buying select building supplies in bulk. Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows pros. Valid from 320 to 720. While supplies last, U.S. only. Lowe's reserves the right to limit quantities. Discount taken at time of purchase.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Get your vehicle ready for spring during Clean Car Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Pro X1 exterior cleaning and detailing products provide professional results and show quality shine for your vehicle. Right now, pick up Pro X1 Snow Foam Car Wash 2 for just $15. See store for details. Pro X1 exclusively at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts or O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered showers tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Lows around 50. East winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 65. Lows dip down to about 41. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 69.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday, let's call it Friday Eve edition. Dominic, I got to admit, I was a little fuzzy this morning, had a little hangover.
Well, happy Friday Eve, Crudy Evan on the board, our fair audience. I was fine, man. Good times last night had by all in Madison. Good to see all you folks.
Well, let us thank the host last night, David Sider from Politico. Wined us and dined us, Dom. I've not been wined and dined in quite some time. If he'd asked, nice.
Thank you, David. Great to meet him. Good times. Good cat.
Dominic, may the 4th be with you.
And also with you. Hey, happy May the 4th, man. Like, I saw a headline in the Washington Post. Is this like the one day a year that all of us Star Wars fans get to, you know, ask those who have never seen Star Wars, how the hell have you never seen Star Wars? I mean, especially now that Disney owns it, it's all over the place.
Mandalorian stuff. And
oh man,
I've told this story, Dom. I will recycle this story for your benefit, although I would point out Walker Bashan coming very soon. I'm gleeful.
Oh, most
looking
excellent.
Forward to it. We'll get to Walker Bashan in just a moment, but Dom, when I was just a wee lad of, I believe I was turning six, about 1976 Star Wars came out, maybe I was turning seven. And my mom took me and some buddies and my brother, who was a little older than me. He was like 18 months older. More worldly, if you will.
Yes.
And she takes me to the movie theater at Westtown Mall in Madison, I believe. And I get to pick the movie. It's my birthday, right? And I look at this poster, and the one poster is Star Wars. And there's this dude with this lightsaber and some woman clinging on his leg. And some other stuff in the background. I'm like, well, and my brother's like, Star Wars, Star Wars.
Star Wars, yes, great choice.
No. I was a birthday boy. I chose different.
A little intimidated?
I chose Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo. Amongst the top three of the Herbie Goes to franchise.
Definitely. Now, you know, did Disney buy bug. Herbie, the Herbie franchise, or was that Disney to begin with?
I think it might have been Disney in the first place. And my brother was, let's just say, a little ticked because we didn't go to movies frequently. And once it leaves the theaters, it didn't go straight to disc. It didn't go to Netflix back then, man. You had to wait, what, years? It was like a year and a half before Star Wars came back to town.
On like the VHS or the Beta?
No, back to the theater.
Screen. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, dude, you couldn't get Star Wars. Star Wars only on the screen for years and years.
The original 1977 Episode 4, A New Hope.
So I was turning 7 then. Just a wee lad.
I got to see it in the theater. I saw them all in the theater. We went to the movies. It was a thing. It was a family thing we did. And then we'd watch movies as family. So that was, of course, in the library. I probably seen Star Wars, the original, 1,000 times. I mean, I've seen that thing so many times. So classic and so influential to my young mind.
Can I tell you more about Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo? Very influential to my young mind.
Yeah.
You know, I was a much bigger Star Wars fan as like a 10, 11, 12-year-old. You know, then I got into it. I think that was like Return of the Jedi sort of time frame.
Yeah.
You know, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. I think that was the order. But, you know, then I'd like skip whole generations of movies. Like there's been like 12 plus stuff on it's not Netflix, Disney Plus or whatever. I mean, they've kind of overdone it.
And the animated spinoffs, yes, there's lots. There's a whole lot of Star Wars.
I like Han Solo. I liked Han Solo, and I liked like Rogue One. And there's about 6 of them. I'm like,
Well, no, I get it. But as a fan, you see them anyway because they're Star Wars, man. Rogue One was really good. I do agree with you on that one.
I only went to those and became a new fan because my boys were coming up.
Yeah.
And they're not big Star Wars fans. I don't think they're walking around wishing each other May the 4th
May
be
the
with
fourth.
You. Dom, let's get back to my tradition.
All right.
Walker bashing. He's given some advice to, of all people, former President Donald Trump. Scott Walker, nobody needs advice from you, wanker. But there's a column at the Journal Sentinel, the paper of record right here in the great state of Wisconsin. And I'm just going to jump right in. This from Bill Glauber. Former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker has some advice for Donald Trump. So what? Who's taking advice from this guy? Anyways, I'll read. Walker says the ex-president should participate in the first Republican presidential debate scheduled for August in Milwaukee, which will host the 2024 Republican National Convention. President Trump should not blow off Wisconsin, Walker told the Journal Sentinel. He's always flat and monotonistic. Hillary Clinton made that mistake in 2016, and it cost her the election. Walker added a reference to Trump's close win over Clinton in Wisconsin that propelled him to the White House. The New York Times reported this week that Trump is likely to skip at least one of the first two debates and has made it clear that he does not want to breathe life into his Republican challengers by sharing the stage with them. Oh, also rants like Scott Walker. Maybe this cycle, Scott Walker, Ron DeSantis. In an interview, Dom, last week with WABC Radio in New York, Trump declared, when you're up, you don't do debates. If you're even or down, you do debates. But when you're way up, what's the purpose of doing the debate? He added, I would have a hostile group of anchors, a hostile network asking questions. Why would I do that? But he'll go on a town hall on CNN?
All right. Republicans currently are moving forward with planning for the Milwaukee debate. Further details, including the date and criteria for candidates, are still to be announced. I wonder if they'll allow convicted rapists. We're business
only if civilly convicted.
Oh, okay. We're business as usual, hoping that we have the opportunity for our Republican candidates to have a debate here in August, said Anne Hathaway, the co-chair of the Republican National Committee's debate committee. Young America's Foundation, the organization that Walker leads, is among the partners in the Milwaukee debate, along with Fox News and Rumble.
The Young Adolphs Foundation, what are they called?
the Young America's Foundation. So now we understand why Scott Walker feels so motivated to give advice to the former president who crushed him like a bug. Well, because Young America's Foundation is sponsoring the Milwaukee debate. They won't get nearly the coverage or perhaps donations or, you know, the youth converts if the cheese messiah himself does not show up.
I love the subheadline here. Scott Walker, Donald Trump squared off in debates during the 2016 election.
Is that what that was? That was a squaring off?
What was it? If you recall, Donald Trump held center stage. I believe the first debate was in Cleveland. And Scott Walker was immediately to Donald Trump's right. And he was soon forgotten. And then the second time around, man, he was downright desperate. That was the whole,
we don't need another apprentice, sir. We've already had an apprentice once.
And then he went to the spin room for hours. And he's,
Mr. Trump, we don't need an apprentice in the White House.
Yeah.
We've already got one of those.
He used that line 200-300 times that night. More times than he said freedom. You want to keep going or you want me to jump back in?
I will go here. Of course, the debate during his brief presidential run on the 2016
71 days.
Walker appeared in the first two GOP debates in one skirmish. He went after Trump for lack of experience. You heard that. We don't need an apprentice in the White House. Trump countered. When folks in Iowa found out the true facts of the job you've done in Wisconsin, Walker dropped in the polls. Walker told the Journal Sentinel that Trump thrives in debates. I saw it firsthand. He commands the attention of the audience.
Something Scott Walker rarely does, unless it's the converted.
In his comments, Walker also looked beyond the primary season to the general election, where Wisconsin is a key battleground. Walker said Trump needs to win over Wisconsin voters, swing voters, and make a dent in the youth vote. Well, Walker, you're doing everything you can, right? The Young America's Foundation with their spunky leader, Scott Walker. I mean, who doesn't rile up the kids if not Scott Walker? Walker added that the opening debate also provides a significant platform. Of course, his Young America's Foundation sponsoring of the opening debate. That's why he cares so much. 8 years ago, the first debate attracted 24 million viewers, Walker said. That is an amazing experience.
They didn't tune in to watch you, wanker.
Right. The presidential field for Republicans taking shape. Trump, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, and entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy, formerly in the race. Other potential candidates, of course, DeSantis, former Vice President Pence, Tim Scott of South Carolina, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Early in the week, Christie criticized Trump's reported stance on the early debates. Christie said, obviously, he's afraid. He's afraid to get on stage against people who are serious. And in that regard, I'd like to see Trump go after Christie. I'd like to see some of this, actually.
Do you think he would, you know, keep it all above board, or do you think he'd go immediately towards his weight? Or Chris Christie. If it's little Marco.
Christie to Trump's weight or Trump's to Christie's weight? Because, I mean, Christie's big, but Trump is, you know, certainly not a Swedish preteen boy. You know what I'm saying? Come on.
No, I don't know what you're saying.
Rip on each other for being fat. I mean, hopefully we'd get beyond that. But no.
You're talking about Donald Trump, dude.
I know, but how do the Republicans on the debate stage deal with Donald Trump? Do they throw the, hey, oh, your Proud Boys got convicted of seditious conspiracy, Trump? What were you and Roger Stone talking about? You know, that or the conviction of the civilly raping, you know, the rape conviction, perhaps?
They
do the
fear
Republicans
him.
Vote there? Why? I don't think Chris Christie fears Donald Trump, dude, honestly.
Come back with us. May the 4th be with you. That was always cheesy, man. Devil's advocates, we try not to be cheesy, but it is a Wisconsin-based product. You're probably going to get some dairy.
You wouldn't hire me to be a neurosurgeon. You wouldn't hire me to run condos. You wouldn't hire me to run HP. You probably wouldn't hire me to run the United States.
DoorWorks. I have a serious problem, and I don't know if I need you or an exorcist. My garage door opens all on its own without me pushing the button or anything.
Ma'am, let me do a little investigating, and I'll have an answer for you in no time.
I discovered the problem, but it took a little detective work. Your equipment is absolutely fine.
Is it possessed, then?
No, ma'am. It's much simpler than that. Sometimes a low battery can trigger the door to open randomly. We've cast out your dead battery, and your door is working fine.
Radio advertising can change your business in a flash. Go from waiting around to no time to spare in no time flat. Do you have an event, need to hire, or have a message you need to get out? Call me, Ashley, today, 715-295-4922, because marketing starts early.
You should call my mom. She's good at this advertising stuff.
Call me today, 715-295-4922, and let's get started.
Spring has sprung into active living fever. Why walk alone? Visit the Southwood County Humane Society and find someone who will help you reach your daily steps. Pet of the Week is brought to you by Current Technologies and Kohler Generators. When the lights go out, your generator turns on. Don't be left in the dark. Call 715-887-4444 today. Thank you to all of our great supporters.
If you're grilling this weekend, be sure to have plenty of Village Hearth buns on hand. Fancy equipment and secret sauces are great, but once you've mastered the basics, it's all about the bun. Your perfectly grilled burgers and hot dogs deserve the best, and with several varieties to choose from, including unsliced old-fashioned, classic white or wheat, country potato, and mini sliders, the bakers of Village Hearth have the buns your family will love. Village Hearth buns, locally baked and delivered fresh daily.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover. When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Feel free to join us, offer your opinions, your thoughts, your takes, 844-967-2789.
Wanker. Who is going to take his advice? Dominic, the current governor of the state of Wisconsin, Tony Evers. Today he was making some news, threatening a veto. Shared revenue has been a hot-button topic, especially for communities like Milwaukee. And Milwaukee needs to do something. They need a funding formula. While the Republicans have said, here's a half-assed funding formula. Take it or leave it, basically, is my understanding.
Hey, here's some money with a bunch of strings attached, limiting local governmental control.
My friend Earl told me even Paul Farrow, the Waukesha County executive, has been going on right-wing talk radio and complaining about the strings attached with this aid, you know, let you raise your own taxes. Anyways, here's what Governor Tony Evers had to say today. Tony, carrying a big stick, cut number one, please. E-bone.
You know, we've been talking about shared revenue now for the four plus years I've been in this position. And for good reason. Our communities, whether it's a county, whether it's a city, whether it's a township, they do the hard work, public safety, public health, you name it, public libraries. And for a decade, we have not increased it in any that money that goes to these folks in any meaningful way.
More from Governor Tony Evers. They need more money. Cut two.
We need more money for our communities. Their constituents expect it. We expect them to do this work. So it's a top priority for me. It has been since I became governor. And I'm really optimistic because I see that same thinking coming out of the legislature. So we're all on the same page there. But the state must step up more than what I've seen. It's why I can't support the Republican plan as is. And frankly, I'll veto it in its entirety. It is not enough resources. We have the resources to do it. Let's increase the money that's going to the locals.
And one more from Governor Tony Evers. Send him a clean bill. Cut three, please.
Frankly, also, let's kind of remove all those restrictions that the legislation was putting on those local folks. You know, here we, in one way, we want to bring them more money, and in another way, we want to take more control away from them. It doesn't make sense. Send me a clean bill that talks about the money that we're going to give to the municipalities. Let's work together to make it happen, and I know we can get it done.
Don, we've got a little reporting over from the Journal Sentinel. Governor Tony Evers calls GOP bill to fund local governments inadequate, and as you heard, says he would veto it. Alexander Elliott Hughes at the Journal Sentinel. Governor Tony Evers today threatened to veto legislation that would raise funding to local governments, saying the increases would be too small, and that restrictions on local decision-making should be removed. You heard Evers say, send me a clean bill that talks about the money that we're going to give to the municipalities. It's not enough resources. His warning came via a video posted to Twitter minutes before the Assembly Committee began hearing input from local officials across Wisconsin on their 133-page bill released just 2 days ago. So Tony ran to Twitter. Could have come to the radio while we played him. The bill includes a litany of proposed policy changes in addition to local government funding through shared revenue and potential sales taxes for Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. The funding proposal comes in response to a push for increased revenue from municipalities and counties that argue the state's current funding structure is making it, increasingly difficult to provide services to residents, Tom.
Crudy, the legislation is expected to change from its current version as it moves through the legislative process. Evers' comments drew immediate ire from Republicans who control the state legislature. Quote, it's very disappointing to come so close to the finish line only to have the governor publicly issue veto threats because he wants to spend more money. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu said in a joint statement. The back and forth came as officials from across the state packed into a Capitol meeting room to weigh in on the proposal's advantages, pitfalls, and the high stakes of not reaching a deal. The League of Wisconsin Municipalities Executive Director, Jerry DeShane, said neither the state's largest city, Milwaukee, nor the smallest, with just a few dozen people, can address the funding challenges alone. He highlighted the representation from across the state at the hearing, saying communities need help to balance their budgets. Among the major concerns were requirements that Milwaukee and Milwaukee County be empowered to implement much-needed sales taxes, but only if approved by the voters. Milwaukee Mayor Kevler Johnson said allowing voters to determine whether to implement a sales tax, quote, adds significant uncertainty to an already high-stakes situation. He cited concerns that a referendum would not pass, in part given the complex issue that voters would have to absorb on a very short timeline. He instead urged lawmakers to allow local elected officials to implement the tax. You know, Crudy, like the Republicans always used to say, local control. The legislation would allow the city to implement a 2% sales tax and the county to add a 0.375% sales tax to its current 0.5% sales tax. The bill requires that the funding be used for pension obligations at the city and county, which each have their own pension systems, and for public safety services. Johnson said without funding changes, the city is currently on the path to catastrophic budget cuts, and that by 2025 will face insolvency. Insolvency! At that point, city officials expect huge cuts to services, such as police officers, firefighters, libraries, and more. That will dramatically increase emergency response time. It will harm quality of life in the city, and it will reduce basic city services to unacceptable levels, Mayor Johnson from the city of Milwaukee said.
And Governor Tony Evers has threatened to veto this mini strings attached Republican version. You know, my only fear is then you get nothing. That's what they've had for about a decade under Republicans
on the debt ceiling, right? You can get a clean bill or you can, you know, line it up with lots of strings.
Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. Call us. No strings attached. You know, cell phones. 844-967-2789. Although we know a few of you. Rotary dial.
I have never been more excited about anything that I get that I've gotten a chance to work on.
Same as bad.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes, their age, the way they speak? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a single father of two who works three
part-time jobs and still can't put enough food on the table?
Or maybe a mother who cleans offices at night,
hoping to find meeting leftovers to take home to her hungry family?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. Smile Train is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered showers tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Lows around 50. East winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 65. Lows dip down to about 41. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 69.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Thursday, May the 4th be with you edition. Your phone call's welcome. I was just wondering, do we care about people's opinion on Star Wars? Like, who's your favorite character? who's your favorite character? I see you as being like a Jar Jar Binks guy.
Is that what you see? I mean, come on, of course, Yoda, man. I mean, Yoda was the man. Short, powerful, wise. He really resonated with me.
You know, I liked Han Solo because he was tall, handsome, smart-ish.
A criminal, a smuggler, a pirate, perhaps.
Many of the characteristics I admire in you. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. Karina calling from Milwaukee. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi, Karina.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent. Oh, welcome.
I didn't know. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good. Thank you.
I'm just want to say about the budget that I'm so proud of our governor that he is actually quitting this complete ridiculousness. I'm really, like, full-hearted, really proud.
And do you see, Karina, do you feel like shared revenue? Is this a issue you feel educated on? Is my understanding on the math is that for every dollar that the city of Milwaukee sends to state government, to Madison, they only get 67 cents back in shared revenue. Well, that's a sort of deficiency that would wreck any municipality's budget. But then they blame all the woes in Milwaukee. Well, it's the bad governance. It's Chevy Johnson, the crime rates, the this, the that. But of course, they're bleeding them. They're effectively robbing the citizens of Milwaukee to fund state government. Karina, how does it feel to be robbed?
We robbed in Milwaukee not just one way. We robbed many other ways because we've been for a whole state for those stadiums. You know, we build, we pay for it. It's coming every time. We pay anytime we buy something. So we're already buying and paying more. My thing is, if Madison capable of doing a marijuana thing, legalizing or decriminalizing, I think Milwaukee County should legalize marijuana, put the stores in Milwaukee County, and have all this money to themselves. That's it. We're done.
Karina, I would love to see your legislative proposal go through. I think it would be foreboding for a local municipality to permit something that was illegal under state law.
Really? Like, it's what about state laws, you know, doing something that's foreboding under federal law, you know, like legalizing marijuana?
They do that.
You know, how's it not the same?
Somebody called Mayor Chevy or David Crowley, someone. I'd move to Milwaukee. I'm down for that. Right, Karina, thank you for listening. 844-967-2789. Next up, our pal Wisco Paul. How you been, Wisco? You've been hiding, man.
Hey, Paulie.
Good afternoon, Devils. No, I'm not hiding. It's just a lot easier just to listen. You know, you guys got a great show every day. But, if it's a Republican idea, it's probably a bad one. Actually, it is a bad one. Any of their ideas are bad. They hate Milwaukee. I mean, they hate it. So too many Democrats down there, I guess. But, you know, you mentioned legalized marijuana. You'd have all kinds of money. You're correct on that. But don't forget the Medicaid money also. I mean, this state would be – there would be so much money in this state, even the Republicans could figure out a good way to spend it. So nice call, Karina. And you guys, I always listen. It's cooler to listen. It's a lot easier. So you guys have a great day.
Yeah, but this is a participatory sport. Right. Sometimes a contact sport, Paul. Politics ain't easy, man. But we appreciate you listening and participating occasionally, you know, between spotted cows or whatever Wisco's up to this afternoon. It has gotten glorious here in Madison. You know, I gotta tell a little story on one of our colleagues. He's recent addition to Civic Media, but he's an out-of-stater. And in deference to the fact David Sider was coming from Politico, you know, got to buy him some good Wisconsin beer. Got to offer him a good Wisconsin beer. Well, there's only one, right? And I'm not thinking Bud Light. It's Spotted Cow. You offer a Spotted Cow. So I encouraged my colleague and I thanked him for going over. Well, I don't know if I properly thanked him. Now I'm chastising him on the radio. So he brings back something other than Spotted Cow. How dare he?
A different
Nuclearis product. Brewing Company product, but, you know, Spotted Cow is Spotted Cow, man.
Well, I mean, but, you know, the labels are fairly similar, the Nuclearis labels. And, you know, the out-of-towners, they don't know. You don't know until, you have a couple 12-packs, and then you figure it out.
When you tell someone, go, okay, then get the mixer pack, right?
The variety pack, yeah.
I'd have been completely copacetic with that. But you don't get the off-brand Nuclearis, you get the Spotted Cow. Out-of-staters. Kill you.
They'll learn. Give them time.
844-967-2789. We know this caller. I don't have to screen him. Mark from the SAC. How you been, man?
Hey, Mark.
Oh, doing pretty good. That looks like I'll have the tube on my side for another month, but that's how it goes. But, it is just remarkable listening to these Republicans talking about, oh, yeah, we spoke to the governor, and you hear from the governor. Well, no, not really, in this whole shared revenue thing here and how Milwaukee County and likely Dane County, they kick in a hell of a lot more than they get back. And all you hear from the Republicans is how Milwaukee and Dane County have it too good. Well, you know, but for the economic engines of Dane and Milwaukee County, where would Wisconsin be? I mean, and that's coming from a guy that grew up
in the far north. We'd be Foxconn, Mark. That's where we'd be.
Well, I mean, and that's just it. And Scott Wanker, I mean, why that anybody wants to listen to that little jackass is beyond me. The guy who never did face the crowds when the protests were going on. I mean, the fact of the matter is he crawled like a little worm through the tunnel from the Justice Department parking lot to his office and never once showed his face to the people that were singing in the Capitol. I mean, the guy is a little coward and sounds like the little worm he is whenever you hear him speak. I mean, why anybody listens to him is beyond me.
Well, at least, Mark, he's not just offering, you know, advice out of the blue. He does have a vested interest. He's Young America's Foundation.
He's offering self-serving advice out of the blue?
Exactly. He doesn't just want, Mark. He needs Donald Trump to show up for that debate, or it will not get the viewership that he's hoping for. What do you say? Last time, you
24 mentioned million.
26 million, 24 million viewers. You know, if Trump doesn't show up and it's what, Nikki Haley? And Ron DeSantis, you know, it's not gonna be a big draw, and that would really disappoint the Young America's Foundation. You know, Scott Walker, the leader of youth. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, one more quick story in our backyard. There was a racist video that's been sort of circulating on campus here, and now it's gotten to the point where they are protesting. What's her role? The chancellor, Jennifer Mnuchin's office. And there are a lot of kids, a lot of college kids that want the expulsion of a student.
So what's the background here? What happened?
Well, let me share the coverage from the Cap Times. And you can be the judge. I don't think we can play this, but here locally, I've been hearing it on the local news with some of the racial epithets deleted or dropped out or beeped or whatever the case may be. But Dominic, over 200 University of Wisconsin-Madison students staged a sit-in protest at Bascom Hall on Wednesday morning, claiming they would not leave until Chancellor Jennifer Mnuchin spoke with them after a video of an alleged UW-Madison student spewing racist comments, including the use of the N-word, circulated earlier this week. 2 hours into the protest, Mnuchin arrived in the chancellor's office, apologizing to students for their pain, but said she is limited in how the university can respond. I also want to say the video that was posted was racist, reprehensible, vile, and I know that it caused you great pain, and not just for those of you in the room, but well beyond. I also hope that you understand that there are very significant legal constraints legal constraints on what I'm able to say and what I'm able to do. I know you probably don't like that, but it is also the case. Dominic, the video which circulated quickly on social media shows a white student going on a racist rant about how she wanted to enslave black people. Many students have said the comments have made them feel threatened or unsafe, saying the video was part of a wider threat of racism on campus, with protesters calling for the expulsion of the student and a list of demands they delivered to the chancellor. A federal student privacy law prevents the university from identifying the individual or their enrollment status. But a Monday story from NBC 15 said UW-Madison confirmed the person in the video is a student. The Cap Times is choosing not to name the student because it's been unable to independently verify her identity. In a Monday statement, LeVar Charleston, UW-Madison's deputy vice chancellor for diversity and inclusion, said the university cannot expel the student because the First Amendment protects private speech, even speech that is hateful and offensive. The law prevents the university from punishing students for the words they say. One more quote here, Dom. Some have called for the speaker of these racist words to be expelled. Some have called for worse. Simply stated, the law does not allow the university to take punitive action for words that the spoken in private spaces, even when those words are racist and hateful. So the Constitution protects hateful, racist speech. In the university, according to their assessment, they're legally constrained in how they can address this matter, Dom, but the student will not be expelled. And, you know, you got a lot of students in outrage. A lot of kids want this kid in.
Well, I guess... What do you got to do to get expelled? Let's start there and maybe work backwards. Does it matter if this was in a public space versus in the classroom? It's hard to imagine that once you enter into a university, you're agreeing to the terms of that university, right? I mean, there's disciplinary things. If you're in student housing, there's rules that you have to follow. So. To say that, while certainly I understand restrictions, and certainly students should have a wide breadth to say what they want when they want, I certainly agree with that. But there's always restrictions. There's always a compromise. And if you're going to be a part of the UW-Madison community, presumably there's some sort of behavioral requirements. And being a racist a-hole is acceptable, then what's the sense of having policies?
Can you set a policy, though, that would contradict the U.S. Constitution? You can't stifle someone's free speech. You can't say it's our policy that if you attend school here, you give up your right to free speech in your private space.
Well, I mean, okay, but if you're in a classroom and you stand up in the back and yell at the professor and you're interfering in the class.
That's not a private space.
Okay, this is my point. So if it's not in the classroom but on the campus, that somehow makes it a distinction. Is that the premise?
I'm not clear that, well, it was not in the classroom, clearly. That was not the context.
But that, someone to your point, though, the speech racist in the classroom, you can't interfere. You can't, limit other people's ability to learn because you're the one yelling in the back of the classroom. They'd escort you out of the room, I would presume, right?
Sure, but if I go in the closet and turn on the video on my cell phone, and I spew a bunch of hate-filled racial epithets, what's the university supposed to do about that? I mean, it's distasteful. I suspect that student's probably been targeted by some of her colleagues and peers on campus. People let her know they don't like it.
I would imagine there is some peer pressure in that regard.
But the protests, the students, they want more than that. They want their pound of flesh. They want their expellment, their expulsion. They're not going to get it, according to the chancellor. Come back. Poor devils have to get most of what you want, but not all.
One call. all can do it all.
Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to scent season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
The friendliest bar in the area is Jammer's Bar & Grill on Eagle Road in Rapids. Try $2 Tuesdays. Any beer, cans, bottles, mugs, any brand, all day, $2. Saturday and Sunday, try Jammer's soon-to-be-famous 5-beer bucket special. Any domestic beer you want, mix and match, $10. Delicious burgers, brats, chicken, and all your favorite apps. Don't forget Jammer's has plenty of space for your next party. That's Jammer's Bar & Grill, 2810 Eagle Road. You're gonna love it here.
I want to be everything when I grow up. I want to be an astronaut.
I would like to become an animator. It's so cool how the drawings actually come to life.
I want to be a vet because I get to help animals.
Foster a future. Children in foster care have unlimited potential. Go to fosterparentsrock.org. Sponsored by the Coalition for Children, Youth, and Families and the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families.
This is what I love to do.
This week's flavor forecast is brought to you by Swiftwater Ice Cream, 300 Market Street in Nakusa. This week's flavor of the week is peach mango. Find Swiftwater Ice Cream on Facebook.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the phones at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I wanted to come back to this Cap Times reporting, this Mexican standoff between student protesters who are quite angry, many of them incensed, that a racist video will not lead to the expulsion of a UW-Madison student. The chancellor has said her hands are tied. She's constrained legally. There was a sit-in outside her office, Mnookin. And anyways, I'm jumping back in the body of the Cap Times reporting. One student shared that they literally feared for their lives and begged the university to act. We are not statistics. We are people, and this is a serious issue. So get your asses off the effing pole and stand up and listen to us like real effing men and women that you are, the student said. You guys are the superiors at this school, so start acting like it. You should not be afraid. We should not be afraid to live our lives on this effing campus. Students from Black Power Coalition wrote a list of 9 demands in response to the video, as well as racism on campus as a whole. They delivered their demands in a letter to the chancellor's office and read them aloud to Mnookin, saying it required a response within 24 hours. Those demands include an immediate investigation and expulsion of the student who spoke in the video, as well as others laughing in the background, and for a public apology from the university. The letter recommends how to support Black students going forward, including more funding for safe spaces for students of color and required diversity, equity, and inclusion education for incoming freshmen and other students. A little bit more. In addition, they want increased mental health services, support services for students of color, and the expansion of the university health service crisis lines to report bias incidents. The response from Mnookin, I'm sorry that you're facing this today, and I'm sorry that you're facing this within our community, and I so deeply wish it were otherwise. I also know the great strength that you bring to us and know that the support for diversity and bringing multiple voices to what we do institutionally it's a work in progress. We are not perfect. None of us. But I see you. I'm sorry you feel the pain this causes. In a statement, Charleston said the video does not reflect the university's values, adding that we cannot allow our reaction to this video to be born of hate and violence. Quite simply, this is not who we are. A few do not speak for the whole. I, along with the chancellor, the vice chancellor for student affairs, and the entire UW-Madison leadership team, strongly and unequivocally condemn the racist sentiments expressed in this video. There are reports the individuals on the video have faced threats of violence and harm. That too must be condemned, just as forcefully as we condemn the racist message itself. Now, Dom,
I don't know, man. You know, it's like if you're a fascist and then you get anti-fascist coming after you, what do you think's going to happen? I would quibble just a bit. Let me throw a little bit more on there. Then we'll get to your calls. 844-967-2789. A little lower in the piece. Cap Times reporting: students speak out at student governance meeting. An Associated Students of Madison meeting Wednesday night. Students expressed frustration with the administration's initial statement and lack of action against the video. Jada Young, a black student who spoke at the meeting, said it was sickening that the university was protecting the student in the video. Young said administrators are choosing to protect white students over black students. Marcy Olson, another student who identified as white passing, added that the First Amendment protections have exceptions. According to the UW Free Expression page, those exceptions include hate speech, defamation, and fighting words. Olson claimed that the speech in the video could be categorized as all of these, and I absolutely concur. A little bit more. Newly Ho, a black student, also argued that speech being protected, quote unquote, is not an excuse for the blatantly racist attacks. Ho said that instead of support, students marched down Baskin Hill only to be met with vague and condescending language from the university. So I'm glad Jada Young brought this up. You know, this UW Free Expression page. There are apparently some exceptions, even when the policies at the UW, according to the reporting here, Macy Olson specifically quoted this, hate speech, defamation, and fighting words. I mean, if you're going to say, hey, I want to kill black people, I want to rape black people, I want to enslave. I mean, when you say you want to enslave someone, that is exactly hate speech. I mean, when you want to make someone, take away their rights, put them in chains, enslave them, make them your property, I cannot imagine that hate speech, defamation, that's not fighting words. You're going to tell me you're going to make me your slave? That seems like fighting words to me. So, come on, administration. You got to do something. Find something. There's got to be something there.
So if I understand you, Dom, I just want to be clear because – you've said some pretty horrible things to me often. That you think this student, if I'm hearing you, you think that this crosses the line into hate speech, and therefore this student should what? Be expelled from college?
Well, whatever. Listen, you have a UW Free Expression, right? They have a policy, apparently, of what's acceptable and what. Hate speech, not. Defamation, fighting words, not acceptable. I'm not clear what the expression page is. I don't know if any of the students sign their acceptance and agreeing to that. But if there is some sort of standard telling a black people that you want to enslave them, seems to meet whatever standard that would be if you're talking about hate speech, defamation, and quote-unquote fighting words. Those are fighting words.
Is there
I'm just saying, right? It's an act of violence to enslave someone. Just like raping, beating, killing, pillaging, whatever you want to call, that's an act of violence. It rises to that level. So if that standard exists, those words meet it.
Okay, fair enough, Dom. So if you were a black person and someone came to you on the UW campus and said these words, I want to enslave you, you're an N-word, I would fully expect a defendable position if you punched them in the mouth. Might still get charged, might still be assault, but I think you would have a plausible defense. I think you'd be able to say justified, you know, hate speech. It's fighting words, effectively.
Yes.
You've incited my behavior. I'm not sure how this video ended up, on someone's Instagram page or being circulated. Obviously, the video is being disseminated. Does that lack of real time. I mean, it's one thing to say something. You're talking trash at bar time last night. I'm sure you were talking trash last night at bar time, Dom. Maybe not in a racially insensitive way, sure, but I mean...
Yeah, so there's a distinction. Hate speech, violent speech, right?
I'm saying speech that is public and directed at someone. Sure, you're going to get your ass kicked.
Someone runs up to you and says, I'm going to beat your ass, you da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Do you have the right to, at that very instant, defend yourself? I mean, I think so. So, I mean, yes, there is a point. That is why, you know, if you're threatening somebody, Crudy.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5